talk about is not really Dvar Torah. I think I wrote some personal reflections. I think it was Ben-Gurion who, way back when, was once asked, cynically, I don't know if he was asked, he cynically defined what a Zionist is. Tell you what a Zionist is. It's a Jew who lives in Chutz Laretz, who pays money to a second Jew who lives in Chutz Laretz, who convinces a third Jew to come move to Eretz Yisrael. That's the idea of a Zionist. You can live very comfortably in Chutz Laretz and wave the flag and be a big Zionist. On the other hand, somebody once accused the Rav Kook Zatzal of being a Tzioni. So he said, "You're right. I admit that I'm a Tzioni. But I have no choice." So what do you mean you have no choice? The Torah says, "V'halachta bidrachav." We need to emulate the Ribbono Shel Olam. And since the Ribbono Shel Olam is a Tzioni, so no, I also have to be a Tzioni. He says, "Why do you mean the Ribbono Shel Olam is a Tzioni?" He says, "It's a pasuk in Tehillim. We say every day in davening, in Psukei Dezimra, Ki vachar Hashem b'tzion, Iva lemoshav lo." HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Tzion. He desires to dwell there. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires to dwell in Tzion, so I, said the Rav Kook, also desire to dwell in Tzion. And therefore I'm a Tzioni, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Tzioni. So I want to tell you why I'm a Tzioni. This is why, not to the extent of Rav Kook, but I also desire to dwell and live in Tzion. So I'll tell a little bit about my view of Aliyah, personal. From a certain perspective, I almost didn't have to make Aliyah. Twice. My grandfather, Zichrono Livracha, whom I'm named after and therefore I never met, came from a Hasidish mishpacha in Poland. But he was a Tzioni. And when my father was a very young child, my grandfather came from Poland to Eretz Yisrael in the mid-1920s. Close to 100 years ago, not quite. On what we would call nowadays a pilot trip. He was thinking of moving to Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to live in what was then Palestine under the British mandate. Actually, I have a picture of him near the Kotel, and I think there's another picture of him near a camel. I guess the two pictures I guess he had to bring back then. But life in Eretz Yisrael in the 1920s was so difficult. People were sometimes literally dying of starvation and malnutrition. Financially, it was so hard to live here. And I think at some point he met Rav Kook, but in the end decided he couldn't make it here. He went back to Poland, and then from there went off to the United States. The family story was he left his wife and two children behind, my father, Zichrono Livracha, my aunt, Allah Shalom. And he worked in America for 2 years to make enough money to bring over my grandmother and his two children to America in 1928, just in time for the Great Depression of 1929. And that's how my father, who was born in Poland at the age of six, moved to America. Of all places, he moved to Borough Park, which was not Borough Park of what it is now. But he actually went to the elementary school that I later went to, same time. So that's how my father ended up growing up in America, not in Eretz Yisrael. The second story takes place in the 1950s. I'm not exactly sure precisely when. But sometime in the mid-1950s, there was talk of starting a university, which later was known as the Bar-Ilan University. And my father, who was in Rabbanus and in Chinuch, knew somebody who was involved in setting up the university, and he approached my father and asked him, would he be willing to relocate to Eretz Yisrael to teach in, I don't think they had a name yet, but what was to become Bar-Ilan University. My father came home and discussed it with my mother. They thought about it for quite a while, and my father went back to the person and said yes. He's willing, they're willing to relocate and move to Eretz Yisrael. But it never panned out. The job offer never came through. It was a theoretical question. There was no practical job offer that came through, and therefore family remained in America until the 1990s. Another 40 years or so. So why did I come in Aliyah? What drove me to come in Aliyah? If it wouldn't have been for my wife, we wouldn't have never made it here. Nashim Mechabavos Sa'aretz. But personally, what was my motivation? So I'm a little embarrassed to say it, but I've said it enough times, I'm getting over my embarrassed. I had two things going through my mind why I should make Aliyah. One is because I believed Mashiach was going to come. Now, we don't know when, but we want to daven that Mashiach should come sooner than later. So I said to myself, what's going to happen? I'm living in Brooklyn. We owned a house, not a big house, a small house. We owned a house. Mashiach is going to come. So all the Jews are going to leave Brooklyn and come in Aliyah. Just as an aside, a cousin of mine told me recently, he says, how do you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu really loves Am Yisrael? Because he gave us, what was the chosen land? Eretz Yisrael. Listen, he could have given us Brooklyn, but Baruch Hashem, he gave us Eretz Yisrael. That's how you can tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu really loves us. Anyway, so Mashiach is going to come, but what's going to happen? All the Jews are going to put up their houses for sale. What's going to happen to the price of their houses? They're going to plummet. Not going to get any money. Supply and demand. The market's going to be flooded with all these Jewish homes. My home wasn't such a big one to begin with. Right? I'm not going to get any money for my house. And then I'm going to come to Eretz Yisrael. What's going to happen to the prices of housing in Eretz Yisrael? It's going to skyrocket. I told this to somebody. He said, you see, Mashiach's already half here. The skyrocket price is already happening. It's going to skyrocket. So I'm not going to be able to sell my house for anything. And I'm going to have to pay money I don't have to buy a house here in Eretz Yisrael. Gewalt! I better beat the rush. I better sell before Mashiach comes and buy before Mashiach comes, right? This is why we daven for Mashiach. This is why. So the truth is that was something that was pushing me. You know, if I'm going to wait until then, I'm gonna be in terrible financial straits. I once heard somebody was telling over, this is many, many years ago, I think it was on somebody who was a Rosh Yeshiva or a Mashgiach, who was fundraising for Yeshiva, and he came to somebody's house, somebody who was well-to-do, and he was visiting his house somewhere in Chutz Laaretz, and the guy had a palatial home, you know, with a swimming pool, tennis court, whatever, you know, everything. So he said to him, he says, what would you do, he asked him, if Mashiach comes tomorrow, what would you do about your home and everything else? So the guy answered him slightly tongue-in-cheek, but he said to him, Rabbi, he said, we're Jews. We learn to live through difficult times. Mashiach comes tomorrow, some or another will manage to survive that as well. Anyway, what was the other reason that was driving me? I studied a little bit of Jewish history. And there's something that you see time and time again about Jewish history. And that is that every time Bnei Yisrael went into Galus, and some of these Galiot were, relatively speaking, not bad. You know, we talked about the golden age of Spain, but there were other Galiot that were not so bad. They all came to an end. And usually when they came to an end, it wasn't such a pleasant ending to the Galut. whether it's in Spain or North Africa or in Europe or wherever. Pleasant Shut's a pleasant thing. Now, I had no idea how long the Gullus in America was going to last. It lasted another 5 years, another 50 years, another 500 years. Achmanu Litzlan. She had to come way before that. But I figured it's probably not a good idea to wait around to be there when the Gullus in America ends, because usually these Gullios don't end so pleasantly. So that was the second motivating factor that I had in the back of my mind. But what I didn't realize until I moved out to Israel, which is probably what should have been the motivating factor, is the richness of the Ruchniyut that exists here in Eretz Yisrael. Now, I can't compare all of Eretz Yisrael to all of Chutz La'aretz, but in my own personal encounters, Eretz Yisrael is on a different level of Ruchniyut. It's not only quantitatively differently, qualitatively differently than my experiences in Chutz La'aretz. And I lived in what we call religious neighborhoods. I actually grew up in Bar Park. When I got married, moved to Flatbush. There are a few Jews living there. But I find that the davening is different. The weekday davening is different in the shuls. The learning is different. The level of learning, the amount of learning. You're walking into a base medrash any time, day, morning, afternoon, evening. Shabbos is just different. Depends on what neighborhood you live in. But you know, I walk through the streets of Ramat Beit Shemesh on Shabbos. Shabbos is everywhere. Yom Tovim are different. The whole country's on Yom Tov. I wanted to go to a Svarim store in the Merkaz Mischari, in the shopping center in Ramat Beit Shemesh. So I was foolish. I tried to go during Chol HaMoed. Everything but the eateries, but the food stores was closed. The Svarim stores, the clothing stores, everything was closed. It's Chol HaMoed! Everybody was out commemorating Chol HaMoed. Supermarkets were open, shorter hours, some of the eateries, but that's it. It's Chol HaMoed. It's Chol HaMoed for everybody. And you're here in Purim. The whole country is Purim. And the chesed that exists. I'm not saying that there isn't chesed in Chutz La'aretz, there is plenty. I remember I moved to Har Nof. They showed me the local phone book, a listing like this of all the gemachim, little gemach, gemilas chesed things. Anything and everything that you need at all hours of the day. You know, you had a baby boy late Friday afternoon. We have a gemach for arbis. I usually serve chickpeas at a bris, at a shalom zachar. Don't ask me why. But so we have a gemach for arbis, and we have a gemach for chalas, and we have a gemach for your baby's pacifier got lost, and you need to have a baby's pacifier. I'm not making this up. You have a gemach for a bris outfit, you have a gemach for avelis, you have a gemach for chasanim, for chalas, for this, for that. For, I just gemach after gemach. Nechesed. And when there's joy in the country, everybody just feels it. When Nebuch tragedy happens, everybody feels it. It doesn't necessarily matter what migzar, what sector you're in. Now, do we get along with each other? We fight like crazy. In many ways, here in Eretz Yisrael, we're really a dysfunctional family. But we're family. And in Chutz La'aretz, don't fight so much because you just ignore everybody. Because if somebody isn't in your little
cubicle of the shtibel that you daven in, or the school that you go to, or the camp, I'm being a little bit too harsh, but you can just ignore them.
So you don't fight, because they're total strangers. Here we fight in the yard, like brothers and sisters in the family that's just sibling rivalry. But I have no doubt in the world that if I was ever somewhere here in Eretz Yisrael and I got into trouble, 20 people would stop to help me right away, irrelevant of religious, not religious, Ashkenazi, so it wouldn't make a difference. Because we're family. I can't imagine living in Chutz La'aretz now. And I lived there for a lot of years. And it wasn't terrible. Having experienced what it's like to live in Eretz Yisrael, yeah, the shopping is better in America, but Amazon ships, so it's not so bad sometimes. But I can't imagine living elsewhere, living in Chutz La'aretz. So in that sense, like Rav Kook said, I'm also a tzion. And it may not be so important, maybe people think that it is. In my mind, not always so important whether you say hello with a bracha, without a bracha, whether you stick a flag on your car windshield or you don't stick a flag, whether you mekayim the mitzvah to say daraisa of having a barbecue on Yom Ha'atzmaut, you don't have a barbecue. But if you want to live here and you appreciate what it's like, and that's something that's really, really special. I can't tell you that Aliyah is something everybody here must absolutely do tomorrow. And sometimes people have very good reasons why they're not going to make Aliyah. Very legitimate reasons. But I think it's something everybody needs to think about. If not now, maybe now is not the right time. In the future a little bit. Ki tov v'haaretz ma'od ma'od. This really is a wonderful, wonderful land. I remember when we first came in Aliyah, and it was so hard at the beginning. So many changes. For myself, my wife, my children. We were living in Hanof. And the apartment we were in had a tiny little merpeset. At the end of a long day, I would get out, I'd sit on the merpeset, and I'd just look out, and you see, it's a little bit high up, see Harei Yerushalayim. Said, this is the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. My grandfather, Zichrono Livracha, wasn't zochet to live here. Hashem, my parents came in Aliyah a little bit after we did. I was able to, and am able to bring up my children here. That's a tremendous source. And I don't think any of this would have happened if we were still under the Ottoman Empire or the British Mandate. For all the faults that have come about in the last 75 years of Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, there are many, many things that one can fault the various governments from beginning to end. Things that should have been done that weren't done, and were done that shouldn't have been done. If you want to spend the time and give tochacha, there's a lot to talk about. Maybe once, at least once a year. You can choose any day you want to. Maybe you want to choose a year. At least once a year, you should, so to speak, enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim and turn to the Ribono Shel Olam and just be so thankful that we have the opportunity to follow in his ways, to not only desire to live in Eretz Yisrael,
but to actualize living in Eretz Yisrael.